You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Hi, I'm comic book illustrator Nelson Faraday Castro, and you're listening to Weeby Geeks.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Mission commencing.
My name is Optimus Prime.
All wings, check in.
Red 3, standing by.
Red 6, standing by.
Red 5, standing by.
Red Button, standing by.
Red Fox, standing by.
Big Red, standing by.
Red October, standing by.
Helen Reddy, standing by.
Simply Red, standing by.
Great Scott!
So, the bad crowd you've been hanging out with is a science fiction club?
Meanwhile, back at the above-ground, underwater, suborbital volcano lair.
It is another episode of Weeby Geeks. It's our 75th episode. God. We fit the same mark as Batman, but half the age.
Yeah. We got the same number. We just don't have the number of years behind it. Maybe if we combine our ages, we're pretty close to that. Might be over that a little bit.
Let's see. I'm 45. You're 30. Hey, we got it.
There you go.
Nice.
Actually, gave myself an extra year. So yeah. Now we thought about being the landmarkish thing and trying to get a Batman guest. Oh, we tried.
Crazy Scott's thing about con season is it's really
hard
really
to get anyone.
Up some people's schedules. Yeah. So, yep. But you know what? You know the best thing though that we kind of thought of was actually we had a nice run since like C2E2. We've had a great run of some great guests coming on the show. So
Nelson,
actually something special.
John,
is,
Jake.
Yeah, something special is actually just us kind of talking again because it's been a while since we really chatted about the events going on. And there's a lot of big news that's happening right now. It's amazing. Seems like about every other day is like another OMG moment.
But not you guys, because you're not normal. You're special.
I'm very special.
Yes, yes we are. well, before we get into the OMG moments, and also for us to reminisce about our favorite Batman moments, since we will tie a little Batman into this, because why not? I mean, it was 75th episode. It's Batman 75th, this month, isn't it? Later this month?
Next month. July.
Next month, July. So, why not, right? It gives us a chance. We know hopefully later this year, knock on wood, the DVDs come out for the 66 series, DVD
yes.
and Blu-ray. Oh,
yes.
Please, Lord. Dreams answered. But before we get there, let's do a little housekeeping real quick. Check out our affiliates that we're a part of their affiliate programs. Amazon. All these go to the website at weebiegeeks.net, right there on the homepage. Check out amazon.com. Click the Amazon tab. It'll take you right to the site. Nerd Rage Toys, same way. Nerd Box, Rick's Comic City. I believe the code's still Weeby Geeks, and it's free shipping. Shirt Punch. No, that's Nerd Block. I'm sorry. Superhero Stuff. They're the guys that you see at all the conventions with the superhero and sci-fi t-shirts, sweatshirts, and other goodies. We're affiliates with them. Check them out. Great place to get your superhero and sci-fi clothing. And of course, Nerd Block is the subscription box. Nerd Rage Toys, oh my lord. They had a 80s vintage Kenner snow speeder, but you think 20 or 30 bucks.
Nice.
So grab it before I do. So check those guys out and, help the show out. So on to our third installment of our Dark Horse pick of the week. This will be for June 11th. Oh my lord, where's the time gone?
Dude, I May just kind of flew by. It was like the end of May and I'm like, wait, what happened to all the days that were in there?
Yeah.
It was like a bunch, weren't there?
And of course,
it was fun, I guess.
Of course, we took a break, but we actually did take a week off, but we were so nice. We gave our listeners a show anyway because we pre-recorded. And it was great being able to talk to John, and be able to use his show as our filler for the week. But man, that means Father's Day is 2 weeks away. No, next weekend.
Yeah.
Not this coming Sunday, following Sunday.
Well, if you don't have anything for your father, you can use one of our handy affiliates to probably get him something cool. Because if you guys are listening to this, then maybe your dad is into the same thing. So if nothing else, Amazon's got everything. So just shop on Amazon.
I know for my dad, if I want to get something geeky for him, Indiana Jones, Star Trek, Doctor Who. Boom, bang, done.
There you go.
So it's like with superhero stuff. Any of our listeners who wants to buy me a Father's Day present, one, the Riddler t-shirts. I mean, as much as I love Batman, I don't own a Batman t-shirt, but I really love the Riddler shirts they have on there. I'll wear a Riddler.
I think of you as more of a mother, so I'm going to wait until next Mother's Day to get you a present. Just to give you a heads up in case you're waiting anxiously for that package.
Not a problem. As we said on Facebook and Twitter, we are in the process. We are trying to get everything at the best price, but we are in the process of bringing hockey jerseys and sweatshirts to you, the listeners, to be able to buy. Designs are coming soon, as soon as they're finalized. I have one set of designs. I'm working with someone else to see if we can get the price down a little bit, where everything's reasonable, because we know con season's killing everyone money-wise. We know life is killing everyone money-wise. I'm getting ready to blow a fortune getting my arm checked out at the orthopedics within the next couple of weeks. So yeah, but Marty, you've seen the one set of designs.
Yeah.
It's superb, right?
Yeah, it's got kind of a melding of the Weeby Geeks logo and almost, and it really reminds me of sort of like Death Star design or something like that, kind of overlaid over top of it, sort of like some different kind of, it looks like it's something out of Star Wars kind of design.
Definitely something geeky.
Right.
On the background. The hockey jersey, be able to put your own name and number on the back. These are going to be fully sublimated, both sweatshirt and hockey jersey. Both are going to have the website across the back, logo on the front. The nice thing about the sweatshirt, there's nothing on the hood. It's just a solid color. But I thought, we did a nice twist putting, you know, a little graphic on the sleeve on the sweatshirt, and the jersey just came out. I can't beat that. I mean, it looks great. No matter what, the hockey jersey price is going to be cheaper than buying an NHL replica jersey. So yeah,
that's like $4,000 right there. It seems like.
Yeah, just about.
Prices just keep going up and up on those hockey jerseys for the NHL, I'll tell you.
Oh, I remember the days where to get like a Red Wings jersey, it was like $55.
Yeah. Whatever happened in those days? They went away with May.
And of course, those days were the jerseys were still better quality than what they are now.
Right.
You know, with these new Reebok Edge jerseys for replicas. I'm sorry, I don't want a size tag on the front. Save that for football, basketball, baseball. There's no size tags on the front in hockey. So yeah, getting back on track. Our third installment of the Dark Horse segment. Here we go. A little bit of the theme song of BPRD from the Hellboy movies.
I was like, how this sounds familiar, but I couldn't place it there.
So, well, I'm not, there is no Hellboy book coming out next week.
Right.
But I went with the book that everyone's saying is a great starting point for new readers.
What book would that be, sir?
I'm going with Abe Sabian, number 13. Haunted by guilt over the staggering death toll in Arizona, Abe vows to never let such horrors happen again until a crazed healer and a frog-possessed teen block his path. And this is coming, I don't know how I want to put this. This is the first paragraph on the title page on the book, so I don't think I'm spoiling too much. Maybe. Actually, this is kind of recapping what leads up to this story. While in Texas investigating the early outbreaks of the crisis currently threatening to destroy mankind, Abe Sapien was shot by the young psychic Phoenix. Abe fell into a coma and underwent a bizarre transformation. The concurrence of his transformation and the worldwide crisis led to many to see a connection. Rising from his coma, Abe went AWOL from BPRD, seeking to prove he's not the herald of the end of the human race. Reading the book, there's a character, Grace, that he feels he has to protect. As I read in the other teaser from Dark Horse, there's a frog possessed boy and they're keeping him drug up on tranquilizers. And they run into the parents of that boy are looking for this healer, but they run into this old man and this one shack, and there's this bell that just keeps dinging. It's, having not read any of the other Abe stuff recently, I felt like even though all this other stuff has happened, I was able to pick up, you know, it's new. As I say, it's a great place to start off. I recommend this book. I really do. Or it wouldn't be my pick. It's Abe Sapien number 13. If you like the BPRD stories and the Hellboy stories, this one's great. He does go through a little bit of a transformation. It's a bonus book. It's got 30 pages instead of the traditional 22. It's got a sub story in it called, I can't remember right offhand. But even the short story added to it is really, really nice as well. Check it out.
It's kind of nice that they've actually kind of let Abe Sapien's numbering continues, because I know it tends to be with a lot of Mike Mignola's books, like Hellboy and like Baltimore and some of the others. They just kind of do like little short ones, like here's a 3 issues and then we'll go and do another 3 issues and here's 4 issues, yeah. Here's one, you know. So it's kind of, except for maybe BPRD, which is, it kind of has kept going continuously for monthly for 10 years or so now.
Yeah, I think the next one for that comes out is like 128.
Right. But even that one, like in the titles, like they'll try to get like, you know, like this is BPRD Hell on Earth, and then this was like, you know, Frogman Return from Mars or whatever the different storylines are. That last one's not a real storyline, by the way. But
it's not.
No. It may be, and I just made it up, and then it fits so well that now they're going to use it.
Could be.
Because they do have it. I have noticed there is the frog connection. They do, like, you know, I think there was a frog story or two for Hellboy as well, if I remember right. It's been a while since I read them.
Did it have Roddy Piper in it?
Maybe.
Playing Hell as Hell goes to Frogtown?
It could be. That was a great movie.
So I think it's funny, your pick last week, mm-hmm. Of Angel. Mm-hmm. If you go to Dark Horse's website, that's their feature pick for this week as well.
It's a good, I mean, to me, it was like a good read, and it was also, you know, issue 3, so it was still easy to go back and find the other 2 to catch up, and you didn't necessarily have to have all the background stories either, so.
Right.
Yeah, so, cool. I'm right on the page with Dark Horse themselves.
So let's see what happens with us. Do we get so lucky? Do we get to get lucky 2 weeks in a row?
Maybe. I mean, you know quality when you see it. That's all there is to it.
Nice. Oh, yeah. Well, there are other books coming out this week. I don't have that list in front of me currently. Maybe that's something we need to start adding to this. Is here's the list of books, the issues coming out, but here's our pick. So you as listeners, if you think that would help, give us a shout at show@weebiegeeks.net. Let us know. Or leave us a voicemail at 321-219-8227, which
and let us know if you try those books out and you like them or you hate them, you know, let us know too.
Yeah.
Or open up a discussion there.
Hit us up on Facebook or on Twitter and let us know. Yep. So,
Dark Horse, pick of the week. Woo, woo, woo. I just wanted to throw that in there for you. Close out the segment.
You know, I might clip that and use that.
Just don't tell Wayne that I'm ripping them off. Dark Horse, pick of the week. Excellent. Woo, woo, woo.
See, we just clip that. Pitch it up a little bit.
Yeah, there you go.
Or pitch it down. Dark Horse, pick of the week. Woo, woo, woo.
That's just creepy.
Well, okay.
So tell me, Mike, what, you know, it's been a few weeks since we've actually had just like a you and me chat. What's been new in the world of Mike?
It's just been crazy busy.
And you're just talking about like with life, not necessarily with all the awesome nerd stuff going on.
Yeah. No, just with life. Of course, yeah. Memorial Weekend, Rebel Force Radio was here in town for Star Wars Weekends. We tried to do meet and greets But my work schedule got changed up because that was also the weekend they did the 24 hours here at Disney. And they decided when to have Epcot extend hours till 12 o'clock.
What do you mean, like, so, 24 hours? Like the...
From 6 a.m. Place was open, rides running, restaurants open from 6 a.m. to 6 a.m.
No kidding, really?
No kidding. Third year we've done that.
Is that, do people really turn out for that?
In masses.
like even at 3 o'clock in the morning, they're
even at 3 o'clock in the morning, they're still going.
Are they, and of course, you know, at that time of night, it's mostly adults and teens probably, not necessarily the families, is it?
I don't think it's families, no.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some dragging kids somewhere, but.
Right.
If you are one of those parents, shame on you. That's all I got to say. That's just wrong.
Well, I mean, like, as a kid, you're always trying to stay up late anyway. So what place better would it be to stay up late than a Disney? Of course, I also remember going to Disney as like an 11-year-old. And by the time, you know, you get on that, like, tram to go back to your car at the end of the day and you're seeing, like, the fireworks shooting off and it's, like, yep, you know, probably 11 o'clock at night already. I just remember being just beat by that time. By the time we're heading back to the car, I'm like, I'm ready to go back home, go to the hotel and go to sleep. So yeah, trying to do that as a kid, forget it.
Well, one of the meanings for Epcot is every person comes out tired.
So 24 hours of Disney rides and even like the shows and stuff like that, are they going on too or no?
I don't think the castle. I don't know how many of the shows at Magic Kingdom went on. I know we possibly. I know the parades. They did extra parades. We did three extra shows at Epcot, so we ended up running eight shows that day. So yeah, out of the norm. Oh, it was hard. Most I've done in a shift where I've clocked in and then left in the next morning, I clock in normal time. The most I've done is 10 shows. So yeah, that gets to be long.
You're right, no kidding.
And that's not getting out until almost 5 o'clock in the morning. Right. And they have to be back in at 12:45. Yeah, those are nice days in the pocketbook, but physically, yeah.
That's a cool little thing that went on. What else happened? That was Memorial Day weekend.
That was Memorial Day weekend. And it's just been crazy nuts with all the news going on and trying to get, you know, the guests that we've gotten. I don't know. I think you get a chance to watch. We get the pleasure of being able to screen John Schneider's Smothered.
I got the link. I haven't watched it.
Oh.
Yeah, I just it's probably better for me on a weekend. It's harder to do during a weekday, but you said you watched it and you really
yeah. You got tonight after the show to watch it because the link is dead at noon tomorrow.
Oh crap! Well, I guess I better watch it then. I didn't realize that. I thought I had more time.
No, tomorrow's the 6th.
All right.
No, actually, you got today. You got all Thursday to watch it. All
right.
It goes because that becomes a dead link.
So then you did a write up for it too.
I did a write up on the website, yeah, and on weebiegeeks.net. Yep.
So for the listeners that maybe don't know about it, what's the story synopsis?
Story synopsis is a bunch of horror icons go to a convention, and I think it's Voodoo Horror Con or something like that, and they're just not having success at the convention, and they were given an opportunity at $1,000 a piece to make this appearance for the rest of the weekend at a haunted trailer park to portray themselves and haunt visitors to this park. Well, the hunters end up becoming the hunted, and
it all turns against them.
It all takes a turn.
It was directed and
written by John
Schneider.
Yep, all shot there in the Baton Rouge, Louisiana area, which I'm excited for. That there's a lot more going into the Louisiana market. You know, being from the Bossier Shreveport area, there was a lot filmed up there as well. So to see things come out of New Orleans and film in the rest of the state, it's not just New Orleans. The old Six Flags New Orleans is being used as the background for the new Jurassic World.
Oh, wow.
And looking at some of those pictures, that's going to be interesting. And they've already got a jungle ride there with cars that almost fit
right.
Jurassic Park. So
right.
Be interesting to see.
Yeah, cool. That's it. Yeah, I'll have to watch that because we're working on some things for something special for that movie. But you know, for those that may not know and listen, John Schneider, of course, was a Duke boy in the Dukes of Hazzard TV show, and also
Jonathan Kent
on Smallville.
That's, yep.
So
He's also on a show on the OWN network, the Oprah Winfrey network. He's on a Tyler Perry show there.
Oh, really?
Yep. And of course, he a very well established country singer.
Mm-hmm. It's CMA Fest here in Nashville. Starts out this week, running all weekend long. So maybe he's in town. Maybe I can run into him out here.
Well, on your hour and a half on the freeway for 13 miles.
Oh my Lord. I hate CMA traffic though. Just trying to get out. And it hadn't even started yet, but Monday, just driving home, and I only live 13 miles away from downtown Nashville. 13 miles. Traffic, you know, it could take me like 30, 40 minutes sometimes. It took me an hour 45 the other day. I about strangled anyone that looked at me. Unreal.
People rolling down the window. Can I get over? No.
When the actual festival finally does kick up, I think it starts like Thursday night, goes through like Sunday, I will try to find any way around town that I possibly can. That's not downtown, though, yeah. That'll be awesome.
Now, the award show is when? Wednesday night? Or is it tonight?
I think it kicks it off, so I think it's Wednesday night is when they do the award show.
So it's tonight.
I could be wrong on
that. As we're recording.
Yeah, I should know better, but I really don't keep up with Kunto.
Same here. And my daughter's going to get that from my wife, not from me.
Yeah. So. It's, you know, hey, country music is pop music these days, so I guess I should keep up with it more, but I don't care about either one of them, so.
I don't do much with current pop either.
Yeah.
I have an oldie station I listen to, and they go up through, at most, the 90s. And I'm okay with that. So I'm getting old.
Yeah, if you already listen to the only place to go after the oldie station is like, you know, NPR exclusively or just talk radio, wherever that's at. Not sports talk, but just talk.
There's two talk radio stations I listen to outside of sports talk, but 90% of the time it's putting on the iPod and listening to podcasts, be it Fat Man on Batman or The Well Watchers or Soda Pop Talk or Podcasts for Sci-Fi. Video Gamer Club, Video Game Book Club. I also listen to.
I know a lot of people, you know, kind of think radio's kind of like the cockroach that's going to be here to stay. But you got to think that just talk radio has got to be a little scared with all the podcasts that come out and that are more in tune with the niche of an audience, that their format could easily be kind of wiped out or needs to be modified to adjust with the times. Don't you think?
Talk wise, maybe.
Yeah, sports talk. That's a reaction thing with a lot of interaction and that. Day.
That's not going anywhere.
Just like talk format where it's not
politics, you know, and all that. There's only one real political show I listen to, but yeah, we're not getting into that because this isn't a political show.
Yeah, and I guess they could be somebody. I don't care about politics, so I guess somebody could say politics is just like sports. It's just a different, you know, atmosphere, or whatever to argue about. But you know,
I just don't like some of the sports talk shows at 9 o'clock at night Eastern as I'm coming home. So I have one show I listen to on the politics talk show network.
I was just trying to think, you know,
even that's just background noise if I don't have, you know, but usually I have a podcast going.
Yeah. I was thinking like at some point, you know, radio, granted it's been around for 100+ years now.
Yeah.
In a former format, but at some point you got to think that the internet is going to finally really erode into it. It's taken a pretty good hit into it now, but.
Well, how much is satellite radio killing terrestrial?
I mean, one of them filed for bankruptcy, so I guess not that much.
Yeah.
And they did a merger, and then that one's, I don't think, doing fantastic.
Well, look at how much they're paying Howard Stern. That's where the money's gone.
Yeah.
So, but no, totally blanked where we were going.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I kind of went off on a tangent on the radio and things like that. So, I mean, we can start talking geeky stuff.
Let's get back to it. There's
been a lot of it, so I think we need to dive in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where do you want to start first, Mike?
Well, let's go ahead and get, we mentioned we were going to do, Batman. Are kind of tie this into Batman a little bit. As we've talked in the past, like the villain show, everyone knows I'm a Riddler fan. I am so glad to see, Batman Zero Year, the final chapter, issue 31 is a Riddler story. I'm so glad Scott Snyder brought Riddler into Zero Year.
That just hit shelves today, I think, actually.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. So I'm glad to see that. If they're going to do Harley Quinn, as a series, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing a Riddler. It's time for another Riddler miniseries. It's been a while. The last good one was Run Riddler Run.
That was a long time ago. That was 92?
Something like that.
Yeah.
And that was a great story.
What did you think when, it was?
With villains last September?
No, I was actually thinking right before the New 52 launched, and I think it was Grant Morrison was writing Detective, and he had Riddler flip over to being kind of like, he had turned a new leaf and he was being a hero. He was actually trying to help Batman. Did you enjoy that Riddler?
When he was trying to pull the anti-hero, like Catwoman.
Yeah, basically. Batman. To me, can't bust me anymore because I'm actually helping you in these crimes. I'm not committing these crimes.
As much as I like Grant Morrison, I think he took away from the character. Unless it's to bail himself out, I don't see him helping the Bat at all.
I didn't read the last couple issues of that to actually know, you know, how that resolved either. But that to me is the last time I can think of Riddler getting a major spotlight, really. Besides the villains.
The villains title? I'll tell you. Out of all the Joker one was weak in my mind, and I think Joker is overplayed these days. I know he's the primary, and he was in Detective 27. Was it 27? Yeah, when it first launched. No, it's Riddler just because of Batman 66 brought an upswing, and then he kind of faded, and then Batman Forever brought him back up, even with Jim Carrey. The TV series. I mean, let's think about it. ABC's show. Had Riddler. They could have picked any of the characters. They went Riddler and Scarecrow. And then how did the animated series on CBS, the Batman animated series, how did they do it? Well, they put him in a pink costume just to allude to the fact that he's there, but he couldn't be used in the show because Hanna-Barbera had the rights. Filmation had the rights to Riddler. But, Joker was supposed to be part of, the Legion of Doom, but Hanna-Barbera had the rights. So, yeah, it was interesting.
It was far like, you know, I remember, I think my first exposure to the Riddler was Batman 66 with Adam West, that TV show. And, you know, to me, even as a kid, I was like, you know, maybe it was just the way that the actor played it.
Frank Gorshin was great.
Right. But he still felt kind of like he was mimicking the Joker on that show to me. He was a smarter Joker, or, you know, he had all the little riddles and stuff like that. But, you know, if you took the face paint off of the Joker, I didn't see much difference between the two characters, the way the two actors portrayed them. So, to me, that was my first interaction with Riddler. I didn't get any respect for the Riddler until Batman animated series.
Well, here's the fun one. Riddler is the only villain that never made it to the Batcave. From the 66 show.
Oh, really?
So when they did the movie Return to the Batcave, Frank Gorshin finally got to get to the Batcave. So, yeah, Riddler was the only one to not ever make it to the Batcave.
You're just talking about, like, they trick them and they blindfold them so that they can't see, but all of a sudden, you know, they wake, or they get gassed and they wake up and they see it and they're in the Batcave. Okay.
Yeah, almost all the others.
I remember Batman, the movie. I think Penguin was the one to get in the cave, but Catwoman
was Joker made it in, King Tut made it in.
King Tut made it in, but the Riddler couldn't make it to the Batcave.
I think Egghead made it in, which was Vincent Price.
Right.
I don't remember if Falseface did or Freeze. I don't know if they did for sure. I know
at least of the main ones.
Of the main rogues, Riddler never made it in. So, yeah.
No love for the Riddler.
But, no, oh, I mean, Batman was a major factor in my life growing up. And then, you know, it was one of the books I picked until Teen Titans rolled around. So,
well, speaking of Batman, did you see are you disheartened by the news from the video game world where Batman Arkham Knight got delayed? Did you see that?
I did see that, and I was shocked. Like, so it's got maybe one of two things. It's either they're really gonna ramp this up to a bang, or they're waiting till more stuff comes out for Batman Superman Dawn of Justice.
Well, I think,
and take some elements out of that, which no, this is its own canon. Let it have its own canon.
No, it's going to be separate. They're saying, cause it originally is going to be an October 14th release this year. Yep. And then they're talking like first quarter next year. So we're only talking like about 6 months away.
Hey, if that helps make it easier and, yeah. I mean, who knows? Maybe they've got some information about what we might hear from E3. Which is next week.
I think that might
tie into it as well.
I think there might be some more announcements that they're just basically like saying like, hey, I think the quote was awesome takes time. And so I think my honest opinion is that I think, you know, as cool as it is to have the Batmobile feature in there, I think it's probably going to be like, for a developer side, I think it's kind of a headache to try to do and make work well for the game. So I think I think that's why they haven't had really any drivable vehicles in any of the previous versions, because that's what a whole do? Other dynamic.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that's probably giving them a few hiccups. Plus, the fall was starting to look a little cluttered with some AAA titles, because there's like a Aliens game coming out. There's a Dragon Age game coming out.
There's a Middle Earth.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings, Shadow of Mordor or whatever. So those are all coming out that month anyway. I think all those are coming out like the week before this one was going to schedule to come out. But like it and like The Witcher 3 has been delayed, and a few other games. So I think they're kind of spreading themselves out to where October wasn't going to just, if you were a gamer, just like suck every dollar out of you.
Right. Yeah, but at least for Batman fans, there is still bright news. You still got Lego Batman 3.
That's true.
I know people are going to laugh, but if you haven't played the Lego games, be it Lego Star Wars, Lego Pirates, Lego Indiana Jones, Lego Marvel.
I keep waiting for that one to price drop. That's the only reason I haven't played that one, because I'm waiting for the price to drop.
Lego Batman 1
Lego
and 2.
Lego Batman 1. 2, oh. 2 I had problems getting into, I'm being honest with you.
2, all the gamers are going to start screaming at me right now. 2, I cannot get past the stupid, you're in the copter, in the Batcopter, and you got to shoot at the Joker in a speedboat.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot get past that level to save my life.
It does take a while, like, to actually get the timing of it right, but I know which level you're talking about.
And I'm still early in the game.
Most of those Lego games, like, you know, sometimes it would take me a little bit to get into it and kind of get the routine and see how it's playing out, and I'll blow through it and I'll just love it. But like, yep. I really had a hard time just doing that with Batman 2. And I don't know if it was because they did more of this open worldness to it that was, it felt a little confusing or what, but I don't know. I couldn't get into it as much. But then I thought it was like maybe I just fell out of love with the Lego game. But then I played Lego Lord of the Rings and loved that game. So I think with
Batman 2, it was almost, you know, it's still the storytelling mission driven, but they were trying to turn it into a Lego version of DC Universe Online, so to speak, without the multiplayer.
Yeah, because it had this open worldness to it, and it had these, like, you know, it didn't have a linear story. It was like, you can go this way, or you can go this way, or you can go this way, and play your game.
But
and
that's only after you get to a certain point in the game.
There's some stuff that's not unlocked, but, I just had a harder time really just wanting to play it as much.
Well, I'll tell you, the whole battle on the, on that skyscraper before you get to the Joker speedboat battle. Oh my lord, I was like, okay, well, where am I going? I got so lost on where I was. I'm like, okay, well, where am I?
Right.
I mean, it's still enjoyable, but I'm like, okay, what next?
Yeah, it was no Batman. It wasn't Lego Batman 1. No. I think that's what it was. I expected it to be that game and maybe a little more awesome, and it didn't have that to me. So I'm hoping
Lego Batman 3 is better. Yeah.
And I think also to me, I don't know how you feel about it. I kind of like the Lego cutscenes without the voice act. And I think that might be one of the reasons I have a harder time with liking 2. Cause to me, to do those cutscenes and just do like sound effects and grunts and stuff like that, I think it's more creative. And I think it almost makes it, you know, their storytelling has to be better because they don't have dialogue to carry it. It's just all right there in front of you in video.
Right.
And so I think that was more creative. But when they started adding the voice acting to stuff, I was like,
I don't remember if they did that with Star Wars 3, the Clone Wars, if they did the voice acting on it.
Yeah, I was trying to remember which one they started doing it on. And
they might have. Yeah, because
Lord of the Rings got a pass because they ended up, for the most part, using the dialogue and the audio from the movies. So it was like, right. You know, kind of felt like you were in that. But I think that was what kind of took me out of Batman 2 more.
They might have done that with Clone Wars as well.
May have.
Some of it, yeah.
Can't remember. It's been a while since I played that one, so it's been...
Yeah. So, now, speaking of Star Wars, oh my lord, Star Wars news, Star Wars news.
Star Wars, nothing but Star Wars, give me the Star Wars.
Okay, so we had the casting, Lupita, what's her name? She won Best Supporting Actress for 12 Years a Slave, is in the movie.
Right.
One of the gals from Game of Thrones is now in the movie.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, the
tall one.
Warrior chick.
Yeah.
I can't think of her actress name.
Oh my God, the pictures.
Yeah, what
it was like 80-something pictures.
When did TMZ give a crap about Star Wars? That was the thing that really blew my mind. Like this week, where did you see the leaked pictures that TMZ had of like the Millennium Falcon and the X-wing? I'm like, what? Yeah. TMZ? Really? Holy crap!
And that one creature with the pig snout.
Yeah.
I can't believe. Okay, one that's not CGI because you see another shot where they have the front part removed from it. 5-man crew to operate that thing.
Think about that. That's unbelievable. Think about one of the things that we, as older Star Wars fans, the ones that had the original trilogy first and then saw the latter, not, you know, instead of a younger generation that maybe saw the prequels first. That was a thing that, you know, I always thought that the prequels missing. It was like everything was green screen and CGI. Like even the actors didn't know what the crap they were doing or talking to.
Yeah.
So there was no, like, that you got a really stale delivery by a lot of the actors because it was like I'm just standing here saying some stuff. I don't even know what's going on anymore.
Having
all those puppets and stuff back, I'm all for it because that is like a lost art form.
I think it's great. There's been an internet picture going around Lucas for Star Wars, and you see all, you know, he's standing there and these all these models and puppets and everything else. Lucas, I think it was like episode 2 or episode 3. He's standing there and there's a green screen.
It was.
I mean, you had your initial set platform, you know, your stage deck, and then everything else was green screen.
Right.
I miss the days of the mats. They were able to green screen the mat stuff in, but
those I can understand not doing because
Tatooine was so. I mean, the CGI was great, and seeing all the, you know, seeing that one creature buck and everything else, but it just looked out of place because it was CGI.
Yeah, that's the reason that New Hope kind of captured our attention so much is because the puppets and the mask and stuff like that made these characters feel a little more real.
Yeah.
So, because those are actually things that people are interacting with and can touch and things like that. And so when you see a CGI Jar Jar Binks, you want to hate him more because he's not a physical thing.
Half the Gundams, it was like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, it almost got to the point of there was so much CGI, but why don't you just do the whole thing in like CGI? Because did you really need real actors for this?
And see, to me, that's what made the whole script really stand out, that, okay, this is a really rough script. If it was more like the original trilogy and he had more prop elements and everything else, I think the script would have been a little more tolerable to deal with.
That is possible. Because now you'd still be going,
they built that? Holy cow.
That's fair assessment. So it's like saying, oh, that's just computers. Because you know how like people like, you know, they just call it out and it's harder for them to get into that world when they've already dismiss themselves out of the world.
I love how the new X-Wings are closer to McQuarrie's designs. And there is some McQuarrie elements that are almost direct from his sketches to a T. So I think it's cool that at least this movie is potentially going to pay some tribute to Ralph McQuarrie. Considering this is the first one that he really hasn't done since he passed away a few years back.
Right.
It's who knows what sketches are sitting in the archives that could be, are being pulled out for all this. Yeah. I think it's great.
I mean, and if you haven't got a chance to see the UNICEF, little video that J.J. Abrams did,
yeah,
where he went a walk on roll onto Star Wars by doing donations to UNICEF. During his talk to the camera, like a puppeted character walks on the screen, and it's kind of like this hunchbacked over looking lizard dude, but on his back he's got like a cage with like these little birds that are popping out.
Yep.
And everything's a puppet, and it recharged something in me that's like, oh yeah, this is why I really dug Star Wars originally.
And I'm looking at it going, yeah, having just watched Jim Henson's Creature Shop Challenge, I'm like, the puppeteer is a little person, and that's where they're at. And the rest of the stuff's being controlled by remote off camera.
But it looked really great and subtle too.
It was still beautiful. I mean, I'm a behind the scenes guy. I mean, I thrive on that stuff. I'll tell you, Haunted Mansion looks just as gorgeous with the lights on as it does with the lights off. It's amazing. I loved it. Now J.J. Abrams today put up a picture basically criticizing everyone for the leaks and basically criticized everyone for being silly for claiming that the Falcon's in this movie. Yet his note is sitting right there on top of the chess table from the Falcon.
Yeah, I think it was a little tongue-in-cheek kind of deal of like, hey, let's try to keep this under wraps, but, you know, I'm not going to, it's already out there, so I can't do anything to take back. So I think to me, and my perception of how JJ is, I think that was more of like a tongue-in-cheek kind of like, you know, do this, but, you know, and do this starting now kind of deal.
Well, who's, I'd be curious to know, how did those pictures leak? Was it someone on set? Was it potentially Abrams approving? Hey, throw these out there.
It could be that, or it could be just be, you know, like one set developer or puppeteer sending pictures to another puppeteer that's on the project, and somebody kind of getting in between that. Yeah, either in between or somebody like on an email link that maybe shouldn't have been. You know, it's a couple different ways, but
right.
You know, yeah, I'm like you. When stuff gets leaked like that, it could be just from the people just to get the little PR push too. So
it's not,
yeah, you know, it easily could be. Well, speaking of leaks, what about the big leak that you stumbled upon with Hasbro leaking the possible Star Wars Solo film?
Yeah,
on Facebook just the other day, and it's like, you know, this looks pretty legit to me.
Yeah. Well, Hasbro just held an event. I forgot where it was held, where they revealed their lines for the upcoming Star Wars toy line through 2020. Of course, Disney is releasing, well, everyone says Disney, it's Lucasfilm is releasing a Star Wars movie from 2015 through 2020.
And it's like every other year is an episode in the Star Wars overall franchise, right. And then every year between that is a solo film.
Basically, every odd year is an episode, every even year is, as you said, the solo film.
Right.
Not Han's solo film, a spinoff or
well,
non-episodic adventure. And of course, you know, the schedule released by Hasbro, 2014, Star Wars Rebels, which is the animated series.
Comes
yeah,
out
so
that's
this fall.
Not actually a film, that's, but that is what TV show, so on Disney XD.
Right.
So.
2015, episode 7.
So no surprises here.
Yeah, I'm going to be breaking bank on the new Astromechs. And on the new Chewbacca figure. 2016, Boba Fett movie. Again, I'm going to be breaking the bank on the new Astromechs and the new Boba Fett figure. 2017, episode 8. 2018, Solo, It's going to be a Han Solo movie. It's going to come after Boba Fett. Well, which we...
Yeah, go ahead and finish the list, and I'll put in what I think it is, in my opinion.
I'm surprised they're doing Fett first, especially with the writing issues they're having, and not Solo, but still. Episode 19, episode 9, 2020, the year of Perfect Vision, or the TV show, is Red 5. Now,
which actually also builds, like, you know, what is, if they got any plans for 2021 too, but that's a long ways away.
Avengers is set through 2028.
Yeah, what are your thoughts when you read through these? I mean, especially Rebels, it's a show that's coming out that's geared towards kids. Of course, it's coming out of toy line, no surprise.
Right.
Episode 7 coming out, no surprise. Every other Star Wars movie's had a toy line. But
I can't, with Rebels, I cannot wait to get Sabine for Zoe. I cannot wait to get Chopper for myself. I mean, I love Astromechs, and I really love the Chopper character. Red 5 had my interest, because if you remember from Clone Wars, Anakin was Red 5. If you remember from the first film, Star Wars, or as most of this generation knows it, Star Wars A New Hope, Luke is Red 5. My suspicion is going to be Episode 7. Whoever is going to be the Solo, either the Solo child or the Skywalker child, if there's a child for either or, and they're flying an X-Wing, I bet you they're going to be Red 5.
That's my thoughts right there. Because the article that we found was on uprocks.com. That's the one we linked on our Facebook page.
Right.
And I felt like they missed that part. Like, you know, because I think the Boba Fett thing does throw people off. Because it's like, oh, that's original trilogy kind of stuff. Which it may or may not be. And I think it will be, because Boba Fett has such a fan following having, like, what, two lines of dialogue in two movies.
Right.
You know, so he's got, like, a huge fan following, and something I think some diehards would want to see, which, you know, with that lineup in 2016, that means that that would be the movie that Gareth Edwards and Gary Whitta will be writing and directing. And possibly
John Trank directing as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that, at least that,
that's being
rumored
right now.
They were attached to the one being done in 2016. So that's the reason I'm thinking that. But I think I'm like with you for, like, the Solo. It just says Solo, so it doesn't necessarily mean Han Solo. It can definitely be the Solo descendant. And then, like, Red 5, it's a name that can be passed down. And since it's been Anakin's and since it's been Luke's, more than likely it will probably be a Skywalker. So I do think that is going to be passed down as well. So,
And we're talking after Episode 9. So, is Red 5, could this be, you know, carrying
X-Wing, or an X-Wing Rogue Squadron movie?
Because at this point in time, I mean, how do you cover Clone Wars, since Luke doesn't know anything about the adventures, and anyone alive wouldn't know unless they bring in someone different?
Well, if you remember, I'm pretty sure that Anakin in Episode 1, when he was going around shooting things as a kid, I think he was Red 5 in that as well. So it's not even the Clone Wars stuff. It's just, you know, like, just a Skywalker's code name, so...
But it seems so odd that Luke gets it as well later down the road.
Yeah. Is it? Yeah.
and how would they go and flashback Mark Hamill? I mean, is there an actor that could peg Mark Hamill now for at the younger age?
Oh, you're talking about, like, using, I don't think they'll, like I said, I think our original cast are going to be done after Episode 7. I don't think we'll see that. I think it's just enough to pass the baton on to the new guys. And so by the time, especially in 2020, in six more years, I think that baton will be well passed, and this will be the next person that's in line, Skywalker name.
As far as we know, maybe it might change, and we see. I'll tell you what I would love to see, and I think they could do this with keeping Luke at a bare minimum. I want a Rogue Squadron.
It could happen. That's why it's like, you know, it's interesting that 2018 it says Solo, but 2020 is Red 5 instead of saying Skywalker. So you got to think that there might be either that's their way of code naming it for Skywalker, you know, sort of like Blue Harvest or something like that.
Right.
Or that is going to be, this film is going to be more of the Skywalker with some other X-Wings kind of deal. Could have some sort of tie in there. So it's one of those two things, is my guess.
Or maybe they... Yeah, I would hope they go that way instead of, you know, like the book Millennium Falcon, which is a great book where you go back and learn all the previous history of the Falcon, that it was owned by some senators, you know, how Han won it from Lando, how Lando got it. Got it. That the Millennium Falcon was not the original name of the ship. I mean, and you go back to day one when the ship was bought. I don't know, maybe they could do that with the origins of Red 5.
Good.
You know, and they just go through the, you know, the films, the history of Red 5.
Good. Yeah. So that's kind of crazy to see that kind of plotted out already in the thing. I was like, wow, we're going to get so much Star Wars, and either we're going to love it or want to throw up by 2020.
Yeah.
So choose your sides. And from what I'm seeing already from J.J. Abrams, I'm thinking that's going to be a good thing.
Well, speaking of good things, let's go to bad things. What in the world's going on with Ant-Man?
Man.
Eggers gone. 2 days later, they say they've hired someone new. 24 hours later, he's gone.
Kind of makes you wonder if he was the second director is even attached. Like, yeah, for those that may not know, Edgar Wright has left the Ant-Man movie for Marvel. The report I had read or seen was that it was over a last-minute rewrite that he just did not feel was in the vision that he had ready to go and direct and
yep.
co-written already. They wanted to do some changes that he wasn't comfortable with, so he walked. And then they said, yeah, then it was like not long after they were going to bring in Adam McKay, who's done like an Anchorman, and he's a really, you know, funny director, done some great stuff, especially with Will Ferrell. And yeah, now he's out. Like Monday they confirmed that he is not taking the job now. So now they have no director. Ant-Man is directorless.
God, it almost sounds like Iron Man when they tried to do it.
I mean, but that was something I was trying to think back on, like some of the other Marvel movies, and like, and how much do you feel that the director's vision in the movies that have come out so far have really impacted that movie itself.
Whedon, yeah, with the Avengers. I mean, that's pretty much him. Iron Man 1 and 2 was all Jon Favreau.
Yeah, and as you said, that's probably the best example to look at is Iron Man, because 3 was directed by, name slipping me right now, but it wasn't Favreau that did it.
No.
And it did have a different feel to it.
It had a lot different feel to it.
But not a huge different feel. Maybe that's because they still had a lot of the same cast members in there transferring over. But it's like Thor. Thor 1 was directed
by Kenneth Branagh.
Right, who's a well-known actor, well-known director, does some great stuff, but I never felt like Thor 1 had, like, his direction behind it. Like, I know he did the work behind it, but it didn't really feel like one of his type of movies.
Right.
So how much do you feel like now that Marvel's got the machine going, do they need big-time directors to do it, or is it just simply an assembly line machine that you can plug anybody in there and it'll work? Has it gotten to that stage?
It depends on how much Quesada and Lieb are involved with them, with the scripts as well as producers, because, you know, they are trying to protect the franchise. Other than that,
but doesn't it feel like that's their scent? Like when Favreau decided not to do 3, they just kind of like, all right, let's put this guy in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it didn't have like a huge different feel to it. I didn't feel as entertaining because there wasn't the little Favreau touches that made the first 2 Iron Mans. But
the concept of the script, I'm having problems. I can't, you know, I have a suit that's busted. I can't use it. To all of a sudden he could call 50 suits. Really? Why didn't you do this earlier and you wouldn't be in this problem?
So I don't know. I'm curious as to what the rewrites for the Ant-Man script is causing all the hubbub too. Like source's guess was that because the Ant-Man project been in development for a long time.
2008.
Yeah, that, you know, some of the stuff felt like, you know, they needed to catch it up to what's already happening with the Avengers stuff, which maybe might throw off the origin that Edgar Wright had planned. And it wasn't going to mesh well, so Marvel did the rewrites to make it mesh with, you know, any Avengers movies, and, you know, just didn't work for them.
Also, too, they were also behind schedule, filming-wise, and it's like, it was getting to the point.
This movie's still slated for next year release. That's a crazy thing.
I don't think they have anything ready for it, though.
Yeah. If you were a betting man, would you say it will come out next year when it's scheduled to? Otherwise, like June, end of July, I think.
Let's see what happens closer to Thanksgiving.
Closer to Thanksgiving?
If they
have somebody way before then.
If they're not halfway through production by Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah.
It's not coming out next year.
So they pretty much need to start production, you know.
July.
Probably in the next couple months.
July.
Yeah.
By the end of this, they need to start within the next couple of weeks.
But like Star Wars 7 is shooting now, and it doesn't come out until
December
next year. So you got to think that a movie that needs to be fine-tuned and polished by July,
but it's got special effects. But you got to remember too, with all the other ones, that used to be, it was 2 years to make the film, and then it was released 2-3 years to make the film. Even with the prequels, you know, now we're talking with Abrams, it's gonna be done within a year. Okay, I'm down with that. But now, on the other hand, let's look at Avengers: Age of Ultron. They're half done.
Yeah, and it's, you know, that movie doesn't come out for
till next year.
Is it next year?
Yeah, it's next year.
Yeah, okay.
So, but part of that is they had to jump the gun because Scarlett Johansson is Prego, and there's only so much time before she starts showing.
Yeah, I mean, and probably scheduling just all of those actors anyway is probably not the easiest thing. So might as well start early and make sure you get everything you need.
Yeah, because Joss Whedon said today on Twitter, halfway through shooting, I think I'm holding up better than usual. Hashtag yoga.
He also, you know, he and I wonder if any of the higher ups at Marvel kind of noticed it, but he gave a little salute to Edgar Wright when Edgar announced, you know, he was leaving the project for creative differences. He didn't say anything on his Twitter. He just had a picture up, and he just held up a empty bag of Cornetto, which is, you know, salute to Edgar Wright and his Cornetto trilogy.
Yep.
And so that, you know, a kind of like a silent thumbs up in a way to the right person. Yep. So I, you know, if you're getting a man who's in the mix of it and he's giving you a salute to it, you gotta think it might be some interesting changes that they're really asking for him to do.
Right. Well, here's the other fun part. They're saying Avengers is far enough along, they could possibly have an Easter egg in Guardians. That would be awesome. And could you only imagine what's going to come out of Comic-Con out of San Diego?
Yeah.
If they're this far along, easily a 30-second to 2-minute footage of something.
Yeah, maybe a little, yeah, could be pretty cool stuff.
So we'll have to see what happens there.
Right.
Now, Fantastic Four. Have you heard the going on with that?
No, to be honest, I just stopped caring. It's like the little franchise that shouldn't.
Oh, it's very much the little franchise that shouldn't. Marvel is canceling the series.
You know, I did read that story, and to be honest with you, that didn't make any sense.
Okay.
And the reason is, because it feels backwards to me. The reason that people go to, I mean, these are characters that have been around for a while. So they're well known, well established. They've already gotten 2 movies out there. So the comics that come out for, like, I guess the story is that Marvel plans to stop having a Fantastic Four on the shelf because they don't want to be connected to this abysmal project. That's
abysmal is being nice.
Yeah. And to me, it's like, why would you care about that? And it's like, because I guess the rationale there is that the comics that are coming out are fueling more money to go towards the Fox release of this movie. And right. To me, it's like, everybody knows those are separate things. You know, most people, I should say, they know that those are separate things. The comics and the movies don't really, you can't, there's not that much synergy going on, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Like, the comic, you know, just because this comic is popular doesn't mean that this movie is going to do well, and vice versa. Just because this movie does well doesn't mean that this comic is all of a sudden going to get a boost. There's a little, like, a marginal difference that'll happen. That's probably why there's, like, 19 Avengers titles that Marvel puts out a month.
Right.
But I wouldn't say that all of a sudden, just because Guardians might be the Guardians and Walking Dead are probably 2 examples I can think of off the top of mind where they fuel each other. Like,
right.
And the Guardians movie hasn't even come out yet, but it gave a lot of all of a sudden, whoa, what's this comic about?
Right.
And that's probably the rare example. All the others, like all the ones that have been published, being published for the last 50 years, that's, you know, those are just other stories. You know, the movies in it have no connection. You can't say that the X-Men are selling better because they have, what, 6 movies in their belt now.
Well, seven movies. And the last few movies have not been the greatest.
Right.
I mean.
Yeah, cause would you say X-Men that Wolverine is less popular after Origins? No, he's in like every stinking Marvel book that's out there. So obviously he's still like the favorite character. So that logic, you know, to me, that logic is really flawed, and it feels like I think somebody's getting their wires crossed.
Well, I think a lot of it comes down to is, you know, they've turned around and they're totally, as Fox has put it, they're relaunching Fantastic Four. So, because of that, you've, in this whole relaunch just changed the whole origin. Now people are, I think Marvel's afraid that everyone's going to be expecting that the Fantastic Four comic title is going to be odd because it doesn't match the Fantastic movie. Sorry. Jarvis has got control. The movie gets censored. The comic title is okay.
I just don't buy it. I think there's going to be enough people complaining about this movie and just like, what, you know, and I mean, even the moviegoers, the people that just watched the movies that never have read a comic book, there's already been 2 movies that have established these characters as the people that you know from the comic book.
Right.
So even if you've never read a book, you've just seen the movies, you know, wait, this is a different person. This is totally, completely, you know, 180 degrees different.
Yeah.
So I think what it is, Marvel may pull off the shelf for a little while they're retooling because they for some reason love to just revamp Fantastic Four over and over and over.
I think it's going to get pulled until after the movie comes out, and then I bet you anything you're going to see on Disney XD, you're going to see a Fantastic Four movie or Fantastic Four cartoon. Mm. And I think you're going to then see, of course, the Marvel Universe comic to go with it, like Hulk, Agents of Smash, like Ultimate Spider-Man, like Avengers Assemble. But I think you're also going to start seeing more advertising going, come, we're relaunching the franchise that started it all and see how it was supposed to be, not what the movie did.
But I don't know the contract for Fantastic Four, but I know a lot of times that in order for like a Marvel or a DC to retain the rights to certain characters that they've acquired over the years, they have to publish them X amount of times, you know, in a year.
Right.
So it varies, of course, from character to character, but there could be that thing, too, where they have to publish something at least once in that year anyways just to retain the rights.
Right.
So,
well, Fantastic Four is supposed to come out next year. So if they wait until after, because they didn't say when this series was being canceled.
Yeah. They haven't said if it's going to be. I haven't heard for anything, any solicits or anything saying it is. And it just relaunched yet again, like just two months ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just into a new run. You got to think they're going to give it at least 12 issues, which doesn't guarantee 12 months anymore with the way Marvel solicits anymore. You know?
If they pull it after the first of the year, that could hurt the hype going into the movie, which is supposed to be a summer film.
To me, it's like, you know, I'm trying to think of like a crappy TV show that was comic book related. Does that hurt it? No, it's still.
Oh, the
still
Cape?
People thinking it. Yeah. Well, I mean, the Cape wasn't originally, you know, like.
Or
like
are you talking Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, like, okay, there you go. There's an example. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Some people didn't hit the same chord as it did for others, and they kind of dropped off
early
about it. Would you say because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. wasn't their expectations that they should then pull, you know, all the S.H.I.E.L.D. books off the shelf because they don't want them connected together? You know, granted, it's all under the same umbrella, so maybe that's not the best example.
Right.
But as that sort of dichotomy.
The only other series I could think of would be Human Target.
There you go. Yeah.
Human Target would be a good example. Yeah.
So Human Target done by DC, and the show.
Go figure.
The show got 2 seasons, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got 2 seasons.
The second time, first go around, it got canceled through its first season.
Right. So I think, you know, to me, it's like, it's the same thing as, like, you know, the whole story about the MPAA banning or not allowing the new Sin City poster to come out because that, like, showed too much round boobage. You know, yeah. To me, it's like, no press release is bad press release. So anything that gets your attention to your product, whether it even be just a crappy movie, it's still attention to your product and puts it, you know, top of mind, like, hey, I want to go check out the good version of it.
Right. I don't know. I think it is a ploy to make it easier for Marvel to play the card of you ruined the franchise. You ruined the reputation or the street cred of the book by completely changing it.
There's no street cred for the Fantastic Four. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you're overhyping a book that's constantly, you know, I wouldn't say it's like constantly hovering over being canceled, but constantly hovering over about nobody really caring about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's there because a lot for nostalgia and they're recognizable characters. But the last time I cared about Fantastic Four was a long time ago. You know, I can't think of the last time. So it's like overhyping a book that's not really that great to begin with.
Last time I cared about them was 94 with the cartoon.
Yeah. So, I mean, and there's been some decent stories in there, but overall, the Fantastic Four is not a top of your stack kind of read.
No.
So to me, like, for, you know, the reason that they would stop it for a period of time is because they just don't have any story to tell and nobody to tell them right now, or they're working on something bigger for it. To tie it into the film, I don't think it has anything to do with it. I think it's going to be coincidence that somebody conspiracy theory.
Right. We'll have to see.
Yeah. Cause so. I mean, what, you know, if they don't publish it, you know, it's still, I mean, the movie's still going to come out, and Marvel, even if the movie tanks and sucks, Fox still owns the rights, so they can still make another crappy movie after that. So,
well, if it completely bombs, no, I think Marvel claim.
That's the definition of completely bombed, too.
This is true. I'm sure
in the contracts and the lawyers.
It is in the contracts, and that's going to be the whole thing.
Yeah.
When top scientist Reed Richards led his team of explorers into space, they were blasted by a shower of cosmic rays.
Yeah. From the 94 series.
Yeah, exactly.
Or we could go 67.
Just four dynamics, aren't they? Yeah.
I even have the 1978 cartoon theme song.
It was the world's strangest accident while testing a new rocket ship.
Of course, that's the one with Herbie the Robot, because they didn't have the rights to Human Torch at the time.
Oh, I'd always heard the rumor that it was because they were afraid of kids emulating the Human Torch and setting themselves on fire.
They didn't have the rights to the character.
Because, you know, that was a real thing with, like, you know, Superman when the serials came out, where people, they were afraid of kids jumping off the roofs and stuff like that and hurting. I think a couple of cases it did happen
but they had a Fantastic Four in the 67. It's just in the 70s he was licensed somewhere else and that one never got off the ground. So, because Spider-Man and his amazing friends were supposed to have Human Torch, but they couldn't. So that's why you had, what's her name?
Iceman and Firestorm
was DC.
Yeah.
Firestar. Yeah. So, yeah, it's,
there you go, man. It's been nice, catching up with you on all these stories, man. We hadn't really chatted. I mean, we chat before and after the shows anyways, but we can't really get into, like, breaking it down like this, because at some point we do have to go to sleep. So,
yeah. And you're asking how I have all of this? It's because I run this other show called Mighty Marvel Geeks.
So you just keep these around in case, like, oh, we may talk about Fantastic Four one day.
Well, Ken and I, yes, I said Ken, for listeners who have been around from the beginning, you know, are the original co-host to the show. He's now with me on Mighty Marvel Geeks. We do our segments, and then during editing, if I need to fill up space, I play music from the Marvel movies or cartoons, depending on length. So yeah, I mean, just going down the list here, I've got Iron Man, Iron Man 2, Iron Man 2, the AC/DC inspired album, Iron Man 3, Iron Man 3, Heroes. Oh, what is this one called?
All I want to know is, do you have the, from the Captain America, you know, barely animated series, when Captain America throws his mighty shield?
When Captain America throws his mighty shield,
so what's the next one you want to test me on?
No, that's that I get that one stuck in my head all the time, actually. It's like the best worst song you can have in your head, because it's so damn catchy.
No, there's one worse that you can have stuck in your head. Oh, where did it go? Like I said, I've got, like, I use a program called Sports Sound Pro, and they allow you 18 page buttons on your page, and you've got 10 banks. I have two just alone for just for Marvel, of all the various soundtracks.
Right.
So yeah, where did it go? I thought I had it on here. I had the theme song from the Hulk, or I had the whole Hulk soundtrack.
Oh, actually, I think to play us out, you should play the Sad Hulk music.
I gotta find it.
Let's see. I think that's the only way. And then all the listeners will have to imagine us walking down the highway with backpacks over our shoulder, thumbing for a ride as we end our podcast tonight.
Right. So Hulk, found it, and it's just so sad. Just so. That's not it. This is the theme.
That's him becoming the Hulk.
It's that 70s theme.
Lining up a little laser beam on the forehead.
Let's see. The one you're thinking of. Let me stop this so people can hear me. You're thinking of this one called the Lonely Man theme. With all the wrong notes, all the sharps, all the flats. Just listen how awful this song is. I mean,
but iconic at the same time.
It's iconic, but I mean, really listen to it.
There's one take right here.
One drunken tank.
Yeah.
One drunk tank. But we'll change that.
Is that French?
That's French.
Wow, French Spider-Man. Oh. He goes after, I don't know any French jokes, dang it. I couldn't think of anything French and Spider-Man at the same time. It was really hard.
Now, we could just keep playing on this. The 1977 Spider-Man TV series. It's almost like Wonder Woman theme.
Yeah.
With that heavy bass.
I was going to say, that's funk bass. Love bass line on that.
Yeah. So yeah, that's from the animated. Amazingly, I cannot find the theme songs from the two Captain America movies from the 70s and 80s. Or the Doc Strange movie.
That one probably never got released, probably the reason you didn't find that one.
No, Doc Strange was a made-for-TV film.
Yeah, exactly. So that, yeah. They probably never did a soundtrack, like an actual.
Yeah, but I just haven't found it on YouTube yet. But man, those can only, I think those could possibly be worse than Howard the Duck.
There's only one way to find out. You just need to find the Howard the Duck soundtrack. And
I have it on cassette. I have it on cassette.
Oh, you're already there.
Oh, I'm old.
Yep. I digitized that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, wow. See what happens when we've had guests and then we get back together and just chat.
Yeah.
It gets late.
Yeah.
So, as you heard us at the beginning of the show, check out our affiliates, help support the show that way. Stand by to Facebook and Twitter for the sweatshirts and the sweatshirt and the hockey jersey. I can tell you with the sweatshirt, the goal is quarter zip pullover with a hood with side pockets instead of the kangaroo pocket, because I don't want the logo kind of looking weird when they don't line it up right when they sew it. So side pockets. Plus, side pockets are going to hold up better. Kangaroo pocket tends to, the seams tend to rip. So, you got anything, Marty?
No. I guess just, you know, if you ever want to hit us up, check us out on Twitter at Giant Yoda for me.
Weebie Geeks on Twitter for me. Facebook's at Weebie Geeks PC. I guess we can announce we got two new shows coming to the network, hopefully by the end of the month. It's Al John shows from Sorcerer Radio. We're going to release them as podcasts. So we're expanding to four shows. Woohoo!
Be one big happy family.
Yep. So until next time, I say it's time to wrap this up. What do you think?
Do it.
All right. So, Leia, you know what to do. No. Leia.
She's sad too. Her whole planet died. She's sad. Let her play.
Weather forecast for Alderaan. Monday, sunny. Tuesday, Sunday, sunny. Wednesday, sunny. That's it.
There is no Thursday.
All right. Let's try this again. Leia, you know what to do.
Give the evacuation code signal.
I will bring you back a snowball.
All right.
This ship will self-destruct in 20 seconds. This is your last chance to push the cancellation button.
It's over, Prime. Adventure. Excellent. Why, oh, why didn't I pick the blue pill?
I wouldn't trust this overgrown pile of my ship any further than I could throw it.
Hold it. I said hold it.
By the way, why are we wearing bras on our heads?
Ceremonial.
Clark, I don't like the look of this neighborhood.
Come on, Ellen. It's important for the kids to witness the fight of the rebellion. Kids, you noticing all this blight? Roll them up.
We Be Geeks, your voice of the geek revolution.
This has been a We Be Geeks production.
The Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
The Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
The Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Well Watchers.
Check out the pop culture podcast that everyone is talking about. Follow the show on Twitter at Well Watchers. Listen to the show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and thewellwatchers.com.
Introducing Rebel Force Radio,
your source for the Force.
Star Wars news and commentary
with Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack.
I've seen Star Wars 500 times.
Weekly live shows and podcasts.
Rebel Force Radio.
You are on the front lines of fandom by listening to this show.
Jimmy Mack and Jason Swank usher in a new era of Star Wars podcasting.
Rebel Force Radio.
RFR.
Like Rebel Force Radio on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Stay tuned for special announcements about the Rebel Force Radio official webpage.
Leaving no Star Wars fan behind.
Rebel Force Radio. Your new source for the Force.
Welcome to the new sound of Sorcerer Radio. Version 3.0.
Sorcerer Radio presents the Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0.
We have the technology.
Check out our brand new Sorcerer Radio app for all iDevices as well as Android devices.
Better, stronger, faster.
Streaming Disney music 24/7. App highlights include a new broadcast window that shows you what you're listening to and what's coming up next. Multitasking so you can listen to SR as well as perform other tasks on your iPhone.
Gorge!
Listener access to all of our daily shows. The new interface, a new buffered stream, auto reconnect when signal is lost, visual EQ, pause, rewind, and scrub features.
My goodness!
And the new SR info area. Get your virtual Disney World fix today with the new Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0 from Sorcerer Radio.
Be careful with that. It's extremely dangerous.
SRSounds.com.
Pardon the interruption. I have some news which I believe you will find most interesting.
Would you like to hear the latest in Marvel television film and comic book news?
Are you looking for some suggestions on what to pick up on New Comic Book Day? Well, join Mike and Ken every Saturday night at 8 p.m. on Mighty Marvel Geeks here on Sorcerer Radio, your source for all things Marvel.
There is a matter that requires your attention.
Mighty Marvel Geeks, assemble!
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?